We hear that a lot. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. But like, what does that mean? You know, what does that actually mean? Is it just all of us saying we're not alone and, you know, we're all sad together? It's like, no, I think when we share our experiences, we share our memories, we share stuff that's gone sideways. When people can relate with that, I think it pulls us a lot closer together.
What's up, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Trevor Talks. I'm your host, Trevor Tyson, and I am beyond stoked that you're here with us today. Today's conversation is brought to you by Life Audio, so special thank you to them for helping us keep this show afloat and growing on a weekly basis. It's still super shocking to me that people listen to this, so I'm just grateful that you're all here with us week after week and supporting the show. So special thank you to each and every single person that tunes in and Life Audio for keeping this thing rolling. Today's guest is the frontman for the rising metalcore band Archetypes Collide. They have a huge new self-titled record coming on March 31st, and I am just stoked to have them here with us today. You can catch them on tour this summer with Beartooth, Trivium, Malevolence, and more on the Knotfest Roadshow. He ain't a pastor, but it is in his name. Please help me welcome Kyle Pastor. Kyle, welcome to the show, man.
What is up? Thank you for having me, man. I'm stoked to be on this.
Dude, of course. And you know what? I had that written before our conversation just now. He's not a pastor, but welcome to the show. I kind of stand corrected. You're a music director. Let's go.
Yeah, I run at my church. I do music directing, so I help put together sets and all the arrangements with songs, stuff like that. It's in my blood. It's what I grew up doing, being involved with music at my church and stuff. So I think that's what kind of led me to this point with the band as well. Is just it's in my veins. It's in my DNA to just play music and sing, and I enjoy it. I love it.
It's hilarious because I guess when this episode airs, it'll have been 2 or 3 weeks ago. We had Hillsong United on the show, which was a huge thing for me. Wow. As growing up in the church, like having the like Christian worship band, I guess you would say, on the show, and now being able to go full circle, and like I'm a huge metalcore freak myself, so now getting to have you on to represent Archetypes Collide is just a whole, I don't know. I think it's amazing. So thanks for being here.
It's kind of cool. Yeah, there's a lot of cool people that intermingle through this whole rock scene. And we were talking about some friends that we knew that are also involved in it and stuff like that. So a lot of crossover. It's cool to see.
Dude, 100%. Shout out to Zach and Jesse Yoshioko. We love them so much. And dude, I've been looking forward to connecting just particularly about the music, but then just hearing your voice and hearing the lyrics that you guys have been putting together. It's a message of hope. It's a message of encouragement. And there's a lot of hurt in the world right now. So I guess what I want to lead in with is Archetypes Collide. Where did this come from? What is the overall message of the band? And what are you hoping to communicate with people in this season?
Yeah. So, especially with some of the later songs we've been putting out lately, I've always had a style lyrically of writing stuff that feels real, you know, that's real to me. We have a couple songs. We just released a new one called Parasite that we actually wrote. Me and Jared, our guitarist, we actually wrote some lyrics that he had a situation that he grew up with, and we actually dove into that. And so it's almost me getting to tell a story, which was a really cool experience to write lyrically that way, where it wasn't necessarily my experience, but it was taking from someone else in the band and giving that platform to go there. But yeah, a lot of our songs, I think there's a lot of value in just being vulnerable. And even though like I'm a pretty smiley, happy-go-lucky, I'm always joking, never taking anything too serious. Like that's just my persona. That's how I've always lived my life. I avoid conflict. I just like, let's all be friends. Let's chill. Right. But with that, there does come a lot of inner dialogue of processing through emotions that I don't want people to see, because, you know, I don't want anyone else to carry that burden. And also, you know, the mental emotional side of things where, you know, I'm trying to keep my head on straight so that I don't screw everyone else's lives apart, you know, screw that up. So, yeah, a lot of the songs you'll see those kind of themes of me just processing it. And I think for me, it's therapeutic, you know, in the writing process to be able to put that to paper and to vocalize it, stuff like that. I mean, I know I have friends and family that sometimes will be like, man, like you got some really good songs, but man, that's some heavy stuff. You good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Like, I probably, you know, like, but that's just, I want to write what's real. I want to write what's honest from my perspective. And I feel like that goes a long way versus just trying to, you know, write something that's not real to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And in music nowadays, there's a lot of messages going out that aren't as genuine or close to home for the artists themselves. And that's definitely not the case with Archetypes Collide. With this new self-title that you have coming out, what's the overall theme that you're going for? What do you want people to walk away from this record just remembering? Like, is there a specific piece of this that you're just like, man, if they take anything out of this whole experience of listening to the record, I want it to be this.
Yeah. And I kind of hit on it before. I think there's this solidarity. There's this growth that happens when we, when we're uncomfortable with ourselves. Mm-hmm. There's this ability for people to connect when we go to places that we don't want to go. Whether that be talking about issues in life or, you know, for me, putting those thoughts to paper and singing about it. Whether it be, you know, with a close friend and being like, hey, you know what, like, we're cool, but I've got this thing going on and it's kicking my ass. Like, we have all these things that until we lean into that discomfort, it doesn't really benefit us. It doesn't benefit us if we don't open these things up to other people. And so I think lyrically with the album, of course, I mean, it dives into a lot of scenarios. There's one song at the end of the album that I wrote it, another one essentially from like my father's perspective, about my grandfather. It was his dad that had passed away from Alzheimer's. And, just diving into that, I mean, multiple times, like writing that, listening to it back, like I'm pretty soft. Like I get choked up. Like it's just, it's tough, but I know that there's so many people that need to hear that message of like, hey, you know, not just the simple fact of like, you're not alone. We hear that a lot. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. But like, what does that mean? You know, what does that actually mean? Is it just all of us saying we're not alone and, you know, we're all sad together? It's like, no, I think when we share our experiences, we share our memories, we share stuff that's gone sideways. When people can relate with that, I think it pulls us a lot closer together. So, yeah, I think this whole album lyrically definitely pushes people in that direction of, hey, oh, wow. Another person that feels the exact same I do about this situation. Like, hey, that's cool. You know, like there's something to that. As far as like musically with the band, our name Archetypes Collide is essentially the idea. What we do is combining different genre archetypes and trying to bring different influences from whether it be country or pop music or even folk. I mean, there's so many different styles that we bring into it. And how do we mesh that into the rock metal genre? And so you'll see a huge span of styles over this album, which we're super excited about because I feel like every song feels like it could be a single because they're all just heaters. But they're also like, hey, we wrote a song that was, you know, pretty much just a shredder, like all screaming, it goes off. We wrote another song that's straight pop, like could be a Chainsmokers, Justin Bieber anthem. Like it, we've just got, there's so much diversity to what we do. And I think that's something that we really wanted to lean into to kind of separate ourselves from the pack and be like, hey, like we love rock and metal, but we also love bringing in all these other influences that we have growing up into what we do. And like, that's the joy of songwriting that I love so much. Being able to reinvent the wheel a little bit with that. So we're excited about it all. It's going to be sick.
And you're doing a great job with it. It definitely hits home for me. And one of the songs in particular that I really wanted to dive into, just because I kid you not, I've listened to it probably 8 times today alone. It's What If I Fall? And the music video alone is enough to choke you up. Like, let's be honest, you can listen to it on mute and you're still going to get emotional about it. So that's super well done. So obviously it's communicating the message, but the lyrical content, the emotion that you brought into it. And then your voice is just, you can't really describe it. It's raspy and caring, but also wholesome. So all of those things just click super well together. But I want to dive into the nuts and bolts behind the song, What If I Fall?
Yeah. So, that song actually started, I was, where was it? So I had it was the middle of the night and my wife had already gone to bed and I was sitting there on my phone, kind of just, I don't know, my brain just goes places sometimes. And I was just humming some stuff and I hummed this melody that just like, I was like, oh, this feels like it could be a really big anthem kind of thing. So I grabbed my guitar real quick and I just strummed a couple progressions and I started kind of being like, you know, da 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 da. Da, 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 da. And like kind of started, I hummed that chorus melody and I was like, that feels like something huge. Like it feels like a huge chorus that I could see, like just, I envisioned just the live show of big, you know, big crowd, just how anthemic that would feel. And I was like, all right, just voice memo, write that down, you know, and just saved it. And it wasn't until we were in the studio that I was like, hey, you know, all right, we finished up a song. We're like, hey, what do we want to do next? And I'm like, hey, I've got this memo of this chorus. And I have kind of the lyrics that I was thinking. And from there, we just built it out. Lyrically for that song, it dives into this whole idea of I'm in a place where I'm pretty stable. You know, I have a wife, I have two kiddos, Lila, Annie, they're 1 and 3 years old. And like my whole family is my world. Like I've got things really good. Right. And so this band, we've been kind of just going at it for a while. We started playing shows 2016 and it wasn't until 2020, 2021 where we started getting attention. We brought on management. We signed a deal with Fearless Records. Now we're recording a full length album. We've done 2 tours now last year that were all across the nation, like big deal. Right. And so this song was written before we went out on our first tour with Andy Affliction, early last year and, like December. And so my mindset was like, hey, I've got a lot of good things going for me right now. And like, there's this internal fear of like, what if this jump for the band completely wrecks everything I've done in my life? What if it ruins my relationships? What if it, you know, tanks my income? Well, we can answer that one. Being in a band is not very cost efficient most of the time. You know, stuff like that. Like, how am I going to make this happen? I'm not going to be around my family. I had to go to the studio to record like 2-3 weeks after my second child was born. Like it was like there was some heavy stuff that I was processing through. And like you start this like creeping of like doubt, even in like the highs of like, wow, I've got so many awesome things going on for me. But yet I feel this, something's got to give. Like this can't be that good. There's got to be something coming that's going to knock me off my feet and just screw it all up. And I think that anxiety of that is what really pushed the lyrics of What If I Fall. Mm-hmm. The lyrics, I mean, there's so many lines that I really resonate with, whether it's the, you know, head, like the pre-chorus or the breakdown of my head's in the clouds, it's a long way down. And it's like, hey, I'm at this mountaintop of like, hey, we're playing huge shows. We did huge festivals last year. And I'm like, man, we're like doing things. And yet it's a huge fall if we screw this up. Like it's going to be devastating if we don't, you know, if something happens. So just the anxiety of it all, even in the really good of like pushing back on you and be like, well, what if something happens? You know, I'm always anti-conflict, trying to think of what could go wrong. And I think that's where that song really developed out of. But, you know, it's just it's cool to see. I mean, so many cool things that we've done as a band over the past year. And I was joking that like, you know, 5-6 years ago, a lot of this stuff, the situation we're in, we would just joke about it and be like, like, oh yeah, we're going to sign to this label and we're going to do this and we're going to be, you know, Warped Tour was always the joke or stuff like that. Like we would always joke about that. And it's like, now we're doing festivals that are way bigger than that. And we're doing these tours with bands that like, you know, we kind of, I want to say grew up on, but like there's a lot of bands that like we're like, hey, these are the guys that were doing it when we were just, you know, freaking peeing in our diapers, like trying to like metaphorically, you know, like it's just cool to see we're starting to brush shoulders with all these people that, you know, we looked up to and have influenced us in our music, you know, growing up. And it's cool to be able to start, you know, rubbing shoulders and like, hey, we can hold our own tune. Like we can get this just as well as these people can. Like, let's go for it, you know? So, yeah, I think that was definitely What If I Fall just kind of encapsulated that internal anxiety of just screwing it all up, even in the biggest highs, even in the biggest moments, thinking, oh, you know what? I'm only one step away from screwing this all up, you know, that kind of anxiety. So, yeah, it's a powerful song. I love it. I love how it turned out. Every single part is just like money to me. Yeah. I love it.
And, I'll just go ahead and say it. It's my favorite song right now. So it's an anthem for sure. It'll stick in your head. And if you haven't heard it, pause this, go listen to it, and then come back. Because if you don't come back, I'll find you. But there are so many things on the horizon for Archetypes Collide. You've got just so many big opportunities coming. The Knotfest Roadshow, that's a dream tour for a ton of people. And there's more of these on the horizon for the band. How are you developing and like combating the emotions that come with this? You touched on it a little bit in the process of writing What If I Fall, but when you're working with bands like Beartooth and with these big management companies, with Fearless Records, you have so many emotions that you have to overcome. Like, okay, we want to be on these big stages, but getting on those big stages caused me anxiety. And when I get off the, like, you have that rise of being on stage in front of thousands of people. And then instantly when you get off, all those, that adrenaline is just gone, and it leaves you feeling a little bit empty. So how have you been personally, like, going through the motions with that? And how could you, like, pass what you've been doing on with other people that may have that same emotion with their everyday life?
I think honestly, the biggest thing for this band and for us is that we have a really good chemistry. The five of us, Jared, Brandon, they both play electric guitar. Tyler plays drums. Kai plays bass. Four out of five of us have been playing together since 2016. So we're like almost 7 years into this, which seems absurd because just it's taken so long to kind of get to this point. But it's a cool testament to like, hey, you know, just keep pushing. You'll get there. Right. And then Kai, we brought on in 2019. So I think that's our strongest thing as a band right now that's gotten us to where we are, is we have this really, really good chemistry with each other where, like, we have a network. Like, we have people when we're on the road and, like, things get sideways or stuff happens, like, we can genuinely rely on each other versus, you know, I don't know, other situation. Like, and we all live close to each other. So, like, we, like, hang out outside of, like, music. Like, you know, like, we enjoy each other, like, being around each other. And so I think that's been the biggest thing for me, is having a network of people. I know when I'm isolated, when I'm by myself, like, I am not a good person. Like, I don't contribute to society. Like, it's just, I just get selfish. I do my own things, and I just kind of downward spiral into, like, I don't know. It's just not, it's not good, you know? And so, whether it's like back at home with my community and my friends and family, or, you know, back in my church where I'm helping out with music or stuff like that. Like, I have these networks of people that I depend on 100% to keep me level headed. And so even in a band, you know, I have the four other dudes in the band and our management, Tom and Ashi, like, they're huge. They're there for us as well. The people at Fearless have been, I mean, they're just, it's so cool to see how many good people there are in this scene. 'Cause you would think everyone's just cutthroat and, like, you know, a POS, just like terrible with whatever. And it's like, no, like, these people genuinely got to this point because they have good work ethic and they care about people, and people feel that. And those are the people that you want to hang out with. And no wonder they built this massive following, you know, as a label or whatever, 'cause people want to be a part of that. It feels like something bigger, and they've established that culture of like, hey, like, we genuinely care about you guys. And we feel that. We felt it from day one. So, for other people that, you know, are kind of dealing with those anxieties of like, you know, you have the big high and then after the show it drops off, or, you know, even in life, you say you get a raise at a job, and then you're like, okay, a week later, you're like, well, you know, I'm still tired after work. You know, I'm not, I'm going to go home and I'm going to argue with, you know, family or whatever, like, stuff gets sideways. But, I think the biggest thing for me, and if anyone could, you know, hear that, is you've got to surround yourself with people that, you know, one, care about you. And I know it's hard to find that sometimes. A lot of people, they'll find it, you know, just gaming online. They'll find good friends that they can hang out with, or, you know, the internet's great. You can find so many awesome people through that. But, you know, just finding good communities of people that you want to be like, you know, if you surround it, sounds like a mom and dad. It sounds like my dad telling me, like, surround yourself with the right people, whatever. But like, genuinely, if you surround yourself with the people that you look up to and you want to be there in 5 years or whatever, it just happens. Like, it's not rocket science. It really, I mean, like, you can set yourself up, you know, if you want to be, you know, if you want to be jamming in the music industry and you want to be in a band on tour and, you know, signed by a label and have management and all that stuff, all you have to do is just start surrounding yourself with those kind of people. And you got to find them. Yeah. But you start surrounding yourself by those types of people and things just happen. It really does. You have a good work ethic, you surround yourself with the right people, and it really does take you to some really cool places. So whether that's in a job or music or just emotionally, mentally, you surround yourself with people that make you the best version of yourself. You can't lose. You can't lose with that. And I think that's been the biggest thing for me, especially on tour, on the road, away from family, having that network of people. You can't replace that. You really can't. So
no, you can't replace that. And community, mentorship, all of these things are so crucial to your development in life. Like you're saying, when you surround yourself with people that are doing the things that you aspire to do, it just starts kind of falling into place. And it's encouraging to hear your story of being able to find that solace in the people that genuinely love you and care about you. And you hinted on this as well. Like, the music industry can be a very cutthroat place, but there are great people within it. And it's encouraging to hear that, especially from you, man. And I'm really curious, like, when did songwriting and music become such a big thing for you? And what was your childhood like? What helped to build Kyle Pastor into the man he is today?
Yeah. So, I'll try to keep it short. That way I'm not long winded on this. Cause it starts, you know, when I was young, my mom used to have me, you know, grab the cassette, plug it in at church. And I'd stand up there with a microphone on stage and sing a terrible solo to all the old ladies. They loved it. so I used to do that as a kid all the time. You know, what's wild is I actually didn't start playing like in a band music, whether it was at my church or, you know, outside of that. It wasn't until, I mean, unless you want to count like me playing trombone in jazz band in junior high or my freshman year of high school. But outside of that,
we'll take it.
We'll take it. Like, I didn't do choir, nothing like that until I hit college. Super late bloomer on that. Like, in college, I was doing a degree in engineering, and by my third semester, I hit calculus and it completely ruined me. And I was like, maybe this isn't it. And at the time, that semester, my mom convinced me to join the choir at the community college. So I did. I was like, ah, sure, what the heck? Like, I know I can sing, like, you know, decent. I wasn't like a great singer. But I tried out and I was able to get like a vocal scholarship where I did private lessons and I was doing some vocal recitals of like Broadway songs, and I was doing like the classical stuff. So I've got a pretty mean vibrato if I want to. Like, you know, the whole opera, maybe one day we'll see. We'll see if we can fit that on one of our songs one day. We'll collide that archetype.
I'll be waiting for that one.
But it wasn't until college. It really wasn't. I was involved. I had some friends that played at a college group for this church over at ASU in Tempe, Arizona. And I got involved with them, and they found out that I played acoustic, and they're like, hey, you should lead. I was like, I guess. And that's where I got a lot of reps, you know, being in front of people, singing with people, encouraging people through song. A lot of people always mention after shows, like, dude, you always look so happy on stage. And I'm like, and we're singing like heavy, like, we're screaming. There's some angry songs. There's some emotional songs. And yet through that all, I'm still just in this weird headspace of like, I just love it so much. And being with people and seeing their faces, and we're starting to see more and more people singing our songs. And like, that just like, I just smile so much. So like, maybe it's a good problem, but I need to work on my metal face and like be more angry. My mom tells me to smile more for our photos, but
thanks, Mom.
Yeah. But like, that's just something in my college years that I developed a ton. And, I eventually, it bridged into just meeting with some friends that played that style of music. And like, We Came as Romans and Pierce the Veil. And this was like 2011, 2012, A Day to Remember. We started going to those shows, and that's where I was like, oh, like, this is really cool. Like, I was late to the game. Like, I didn't even start listening to like Under Oath, like old school, like 2007, 2008 Under Oath, like until probably like 2016. And I was like, yo, where has this been my whole life? And like, I was backwards. I was listening to all these bands that were influenced by them. And then I go back and I see the source and I'm like, yo, like this is huge. Like, and so I kind of had a backward, I was never super involved in the scene, you know, or the 2000s. It wasn't until 2011, 12, 13 that I really got into it. And then just had some friends that enjoyed that music. Me and a buddy did a bunch of vocal covers back on YouTube all the time. Super cringy. They're still up there somewhere if you find them on our YouTube channel.
I did find some today when I looked up Kyle Pastor to see if I could get some like insight. And praise God. Like it's not bad. You don't say that. You've come a long way, but
it's like watching, just looking at old photos from like a yearbook, or like, you know, looking at, you know, Facebook will hit you with memories from like 10 years ago and you're like, oh my gosh,
let me delete this.
Like you just see that stuff. And like, I mean, 10 years from now, I'm going to look back at myself and be like, dude, what a loser. You know, like that's just what we do. It's just the aging process. But yeah, I mean, that's just the process of my college years growing up. I got a lot of opportunities to play music through my church. And I think that's where I developed a lot as a musician. And then it just bled over into this style of music. And so with the guys that we have, like I said, we have a really good chemistry. We've been playing shows for what? 2016, so that's like 4, 5, 6, like 7 years almost now. So it's a cool team. It's cool to see how far we've come, especially from like, yeah, we were terrible.
I wouldn't say terrible. You're better than 90% of the bands that are out there now, in my opinion. I think y'all are awesome. I'm a mega fan of Archetypes Collide now. I can't wait to catch a live show. And just to hear the backstory of where you've personally come from, some of the things you've been through, it made me even more of a fan now. So
yeah.
Now you're going to be touring the country. You're going to be touring the world. Just going to speak that one over you. Yeah. And encouraging people with a message of hope and making the world a better place. The last thing I really want to ask is for the young Kyle that's listening now, that Kyle that was growing up not really knowing what he wanted to do in life, didn't have the calling to music yet, kind of questioning things. What would your message be to him from Kyle in 2023?
I mean, honestly, my biggest, I want to say regret, but looking back, I spent a lot of years of my life trying to lean into things that I wasn't good at. Whether it be, you know, sports, I'm coordinated, you know, I'm not a very fast runner. Like I can throw a ball, you know, like, I'm, you know, stuff like that. Like I put a lot of time into sports, you know, in hopes that one day, you know, I would get there, you know, like, and I know I had the work ethic, but, I feel like even that, or like with certain friend groups, you know, I wasted a lot of time on trying to fit in with certain people that, you know, weren't my people. And so I think the biggest thing looking back to like the young Kyle is like, hey, you know, at the core, you know, what your God given like gifts are, like, you know, what you're good at and you got to run with that. And I feel like that's where it clicked for me, you know, probably like 2015, 2016 is like, hey, I know exactly what I'm good at. You know, I know music comes natural to me. It doesn't take a lot of effort for me to like know what I'm doing or navigate it or communicate it or play it. Singing, talking to people, communication, like I know I can lean into that really well. And I think once I started focusing in on what I'm really good at, instead of trying to fix all the things that I'm not good at, I think that's where I really started to grow and become my own person, you know, like really become my own self, I guess, with an identity. So, but yeah, I would definitely tell myself back then, you got to focus on what are you good at? What comes natural to you? You know, it's not rocket science. You know, the things that you're gifted at. Your mom and dad will sometimes tell you like, oh yeah, you should sing or you should do theater. I heard that all the time through high school. And I was like, those kids are weird. I don't want to be like them. You know, like, and looking back, I'm like, dude, those are the exact people that I would love to hang out with right now. Like, and I'm like, why did I waste so many years you know, being judgmental and not trying to be someone that I kind of was all along, you know, like I'm a dork. Like I love music. I love theater. I love singing. I love, you know, everything that's involved with that. And I feel like I pushed back on that a lot growing up. And so even if certain things feel like, man, people are going to rip on me and think I'm a loser. Like, you know, if dance is your thing and you got moves, like go for it. Who cares? Yeah. You know, like if that's what your abilities are, that's the hand you're dealt. Like you got to run with those strengths. If it's drawing, if it's writing, if it's speaking, singing, you know, if it's analytics, if it's computers, like you got to find what you're good at and you got to lean into that and just go full blast. And I guarantee you that'll take you so much further than anything else could. So, yeah, that would definitely be my advice to myself.
Come on. As we'd say in Georgia, don't put all your eggs in the wrong basket, y'all. That is encouraging. Kyle, thank you so much for being here, man. This has been awesome. Everybody needs to go pre-save the self-titled album from Archetypes Collide on your favorite digital streaming platform. We'll have the links for all that in the description below, as well as for your merch store and everything. I know for a fact, like I swear on everything, I'm going to go buy something right after this because I need to be able to wear it on the show. Like, I'm a fan. I love what you're doing. And for everybody listening, if you've heard something super beneficial in this, let us know in the comments. And then also, if you're struggling and you need help, and you're watching this on YouTube, or if you're listening to the audio experience, go over to YouTube, comment in the comments below, and it'll go straight to the heart support wall. You are loved. There's so much to live for. There's always a reason to choose to live. I know that it's hard to see that at times, but you've got a purpose on this planet. I believe that God loves you. Not going to shove it down your throat or anything, but you are so loved. You are so worth living. Be sure to check out some of the links in the description for some more resources for you if you're in that state of mind. We love you guys so much, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye now.
Hi, I'm Zach.
And I'm Randy.
And we're from Salty Saints Podcast. We're a theology and apologetics podcast.
To find out more, subscribe at lifeaudio.com.